going on, everybody? This is Lamont's Last Podcast. I'm Lamont. Still weird. Should have thought about this title a lot harder. When I refer to myself in the title, in the third person, it's not... it's a bit of a problem. Guess I should have thought that one through a little better. Among things I should have thought through better, moving back to Connecticut. Holy shit! Now, mind you, my reasons are noble and just, and I stand by them when I stand before the Lord. However, existing in this decision, not the easiest! Okay, so, one of the things about growing up in Connecticut that I remember was the 90s. Having a good time with hip-hop back when I could do that, man. My two dudes, well, my main man was Notorious B.I.G. Oh, man, that was the guy. My other guy was Snoop Diggity Dogg. Ah, man, I was a fan. And in the 90s, I couldn't wait to get Snoop Dogg and Biggie on a track together. Thought that was going to be amazing. But East Coast, West Coast, blah, 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 dead. Now, they did a one of those, you know, took a bunch of old tracks in the 90s and put mashed people up. And I got a Snoop Dogg. Dr. Dre or Snoop Dogg Biggie song out of that. But recently, like just like a week or two ago, in this real-time recording time, depending on when you're listening to this, in the world that you live in, there is an album called The King and I. Faith Evans put it out, used a bunch of old Biggie tracks. And then also, in that same week, Snoop came out with a new album called Never Left. Now, I like the Biggie album. It's sad and it's with an asterisk next to it. But I ultimately I like it. It's a Faith album, which is fine because I like Faith too. So you know, ultimately I like The King and I. It was good. Here's the thing with Snoop. Now, Snoop, if you heard the other episodes, I was in New Orleans for Jazz Fest a few weeks ago, and oh, by the way. Went to Jazz Fest, had a delicious sandwich, a cochon de lait po' boy, right? It was shredded pork, coleslaw, Creole sauce on a bun, French bun. Basically just bread, whatever. Man, this weekend, I made cochon de lait myself. Got a little pork shoulder, pork butt, pork shoulder, threw that in a crock pot, the crack pat, put a dry rub on that bitch. Threw some garlic inside it. Made coleslaw from scratch. Made the sauce. Did not make the buns. But got nice bread. Bit it all up. Came out quite delightful. Gotta say. Sucking my own dick right there. We'll move on. Anyway. Went down to Jazz Fest. The main reason. Stevie Wonder was there. I love Stevie. That was the second time I got to see him live. It was pretty good. But Snoop was performing at the same time as Stevie. And there wasn't even a question. As much as I like Snoop, there wasn't even a question that I was going to go see him when Stevie's performing in the same venue. So I did not see Snoop. But I still dig the dude. And the reason everyone digs Snoop is because Snoop appeals to everyone, it seems. Now, he says everything and appeals to everyone. Like I know when there's police violence going down or what have you, he's like, hey, blood, we got to get the Crips and the Bloods together. Right, and then that's a great thing, but then you hear the first track of his album, which we'll get to in a second. But here's another thing that kind of irked me a little bit about old my boy Snoop Dogg. Now I'll tell you right now, because I'm not gonna play that clip. First track out on the Never Left album, Snoop's new album, he's talking about crippin' and gangbanging and all that stuff. It's like all the positivity that Snoop ever did was like, never mind all that, youngin. This is shit right here, right now, could. And he did that, where he's just like, yeah, shout out to the Crips, you gotta be banging, da 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 da. And I'm like, that, the way to start off the track like that, I guess for the people that are like, keep it real, Snoop, they will be happy. But for me, like, you went backwards. I don't know, it just didn't strike me right. And then there's this clip that Snoop has online, which I appreciate. This clip right here.
Yeah, because once you be you, who could be you but you?
Right.
That's what's wrong right now. Everybody trying to rap the same style with the, I don't know who created it, if it was Future or Migos, but all them niggas sound the same.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm listening to the new album, and then I hear this.
Traffic, full of cash, full of cash, count that. Traffic, full of cash, full of cash.
And then he goes on to name pretty much every female name there is. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds a little bit like walking down a very familiar path and not carving out your own way. But, you know, whatever. That's how Snoop Dogg manages to be the most relevant hip-hop artist possibly of all time. Like, and by relevance, I mean still, you know, new bookings, still doing shows that people go out to. He is probably the longest-term relevant hip-hop artist. And I mean, that's the biggest at it, arguably. So, you know, hey, pleasing everyone. You know, maybe that's the key to life for me. Pleasing everyone, doing no, that's not the case, because I tried pleasing people, and that did not work. Nothing, basically, in life seems to be working for me. And so I guess for me to have Jack Snap to say about Snoop Dogg just makes me sound like an asshole. So, once again, Lamont Stewart, host, an asshole. But once again, not comedy host, because it's not my strong suit. And apparently, neither is regular comedy, because I just came home today. Now, mind you, okay, I spent the last 5 years, well, longer than that, but because there was a little extra time that I put in. But for the last 5 years, when I was living down there in Miami, when it was all good and I was happy, I spent 5 years trying to become a decent stand-up comic. I'm not great, you know what I'm saying? I still have my issues and whatnot, but I was getting very comfortable. I was getting into a nice groove down there. And I was like, one thing that I did not count on in my move to Connecticut was how miserable it makes me to be in this place. And I can't understate how miserable being in this place makes me. And I can't wait to get the full fuck out of here. This is a horrible place. Horrible place. A lot of horrible people. And it's really bringing me down to the point where I don't even have the interest or seemingly the ability to generate humor in my current situation. So I've kind of fallen back from comedy, which is not, I'm not proud of that, because like if you work on something for 5 years, to drop it is, you know, that's a problem. That's not good at all. I feel nothing but failure. And I came home today, because back when I first moved in, I was like, all right, I'm going to hit the ground running in Connecticut, man. I got these 5 years. I got jokes. I'm ready. I got jokes. I feel very comfortable doing a half hour. I feel very comfortable doing 20. I feel comfortable doing a half hour. So I was I wasn't going to be dropping motherfuckers like, I'm having a heart attack, you're so funny. But, you know, I could do my time. And even in shorter spurts, like feature spot, I could do. Okay. Came home, and so when I came to Connecticut, I'm like, I'm going to hit the ground running, da 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 da. Did not take into consideration how fucking depressed this place makes me, and did not count on it. So I entered into, a contest, right? Back when I was delusionally had hope. Anyway, so I entered this contest. I just got the email today about, hey, man, I mean, this is a contest in Connecticut that I didn't get in. Now, ultimately, the reason that I mean, right now, I'm processing my existence. As I said in the last podcast, I'm at the point now where I left, where I was fed up with this place, and I got the fuck out, which is the wisest thing I ever did. And now that I'm back, I didn't count on the fact that I would have to now deal with the feelings of being in a place I don't want to be and feeling powerless about it. If I come back to when I move away and if I go back to comedy, one of the driving things that I will be doing in comedy is to shit on every place that told me that I couldn't perform and the people that said it. That would be 15% of my motivation for anything that I do, because what Connecticut does to me is an offense in itself. This place could be eviscerated from the planet and I wouldn't be hurt. But to receive rejection in Connecticut is an insult to the injury. Like, it's the salt in the wound. It's like when you're thinking you're doing a nice thing for someone and then they reject you doing something and you didn't even really want to do it, but you're doing it and they still reject you. You're like, well, that was a little extra oomph. Like, I would have been bothered by that, maybe not as much, but the little oomph you put on it really was the fucking deciding factor, and I abhor you because of it. So, Connecticut is probably the biggest. Living in Connecticut right now is perhaps the biggest challenge I've ever faced in my life. And that doesn't include white people. All right. Oh, one other thing I really want to mention real quick. The Beatles, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Heart Club Band, they just released a reissue. I can't tell, unless I'm listening to them side by side and someone's pointing them out, I really can't tell the differences in reissues and remasters and all this other stuff, right? But one thing they did for the reissue of Sgt. Pepper's is they released a bunch of outtakes, and I guess gotta play this, because if this was the 90s and I was into trying to create beats and all that jazz, this is a break beat that, like, I'm like, dude, someone should rhyme over this. Check this out. That's not the Get Down. That's off of Lovely Rita, off the reissue of the Sgt. Pepper. Well, it's the deluxe whatever of the Sgt. Pepper album. That, dude, loop that, rhyme over it, rhyming with the Beatles. That would be dope. Okay. Now, we got a problem with white people, man. We got to talk about this. The land that is now known as America, there were indigenous native people that lived here. And then one day, these ships came and landed on the shores. They were brimming with white people. And the white people went ahead and proceeded to engage in a one-sided biological war, smallpox blankets, and, pretty much decimated the people who already lived in this land. So anyway, the white people took it over and, killed a bunch of Indians. Then they recognized there was a lot of work that needed to be done, and they were like, fuck that. So then they decided to, have slaves. That was, and as of up to last week of the time of this recording, Alabama has gone on to protect the statues of those who chose to maintain slavery in America. So in 2017, white people are looking to preserve the ability to celebrate their desire to enslave black people. I'm black. So, that kind of strikes me as a little fucked up. And then you have the whole oppressing women, and you have, destroying the planet for a profit of a few, taking things like health care and making it overpriced, and then when it comes to getting it at least affordable for people, the best thing they can come up with in 2017 is figure out how to make it so that rich people don't have to pay as much. I get one-third of my paycheck. Like, if I look at my paycheck, one-third of it goes away to a bunch of shit that, yeah, okay, roads and schools, fine. You know, health insurance, okay. But a third of my paycheck goes to that, which leaves me with two-thirds of a paycheck. Like, one-third, 33-point-something% of my paycheck is not mine, right? But we have to figure out how to make it so people who have a shitload of shit don't pay. What? Take one-third of all those motherfuckers' shit and let's see what we have, all right? I'm pretty sure shit will look a lot better. Bring down the costs of a lot of these places that are paying multi-million dollar bonuses, let alone salaries. Any company that is going to the financial interest of a board or stockholders and shitting on the middle class and people who can barely afford shit is fucked up. And I gotta tell you, it's a lot of white people. Now, I'm not saying white people are fucked up. I like white people. I've had my penis in white women. I mean, it's great. My first blowjob was from a white girl. It was awesome. I made her say, chocolate. I didn't even know why I did it as much as I was just really feeling myself. Whatever. It's done now. But look, I like white people. I have white friends, and I know this is like this isn't reverse racism. This is just saying some shit that needs to be fucking said, because you know, until we say it, we can't really fucking deal with it, right? Never mind the fucking never mind the police. The fucking police murdering black people like it ain't shit. You know, like it's not enough that cops are just murdering black people, and the very first time a robot murder machine was used to kill someone on domestic soil was against a guy who got fed up with police and decided to murder police. And they, as a result, used weapons technology never before used on this soil against a black person for going against police. Now, let me just tell you a little something that happened in the last few days of this recording. Okay, here's one. There's a cop in Houston, Texas. He's a school officer, and he's the cop in a school. That guy got his dick sucked by a 14-year-old girl in the girl's bathroom. He showed the girl pictures of his genitals. He's blowing kisses to the girl through the window of the classroom. He was charged with two felony counts of indecency with a child, pleaded guilty to the lesser charge. That guy will spend zero time, wait for it, in prison. That's right, he gets 5 years probation, and on top of that, he doesn't even have to register as a sex offender. That's right, if you pee in public, depending on how the wind is blowing and how the mood of the fucking officer dictates at that time, you could be registered as a sex offender for peeing in public. But a motherfucker who goes into a school gets a 14-year-old girl to suck his dick in the girl's bathroom on school property is not getting fucking put on the registry. Now that, to me, is some bullshit. Now, yeah, he was white. I don't know about the girl, but he's a white officer. Let me tell you something about another white officer in Cleveland, specifically. Now, you may or may not know the name Tamir Rice. He's a 12-year-old boy that was in Cleveland playing with a toy gun on a playground. A neighbor calls up the cops, says someone's out here with a gun. The cops roll up, and within maybe 3 seconds, Tamir Rice is shot dead. Murdered, in my opinion. Because Cleveland is supposedly an open carry situation. So are they rolling up on everyone that has a gun and instantly murdering them? No, because that's not how shit's done. Also, it wasn't a report of someone firing a gun. It's just a matter of someone having one. So the whole thing is fucked up. But anyway, the cop was let off, and everything was by the book. It's completely justified, right? So it comes out today, the day of recording, that the officer has been let go, not because of murdering a 12-year-old kid with a toy gun, but because he didn't disclose everything right. So, murdering a 12-year-old kid is perfectly fine. Getting your dick sucked by a 14-year-old girl on school property is perfectly fine if you're a white police officer. man, must be fine to be a white police officer. Must be awesome being a white person in general. Because let's look at this. Who do we have as the fucking president who was brought in by a bunch of, and I'm going to say it, ignorant fucking white people? Now, they weren't all ignorant, because some of them were probably rich. And they were like, ah, this Trump motherfucker is going to save me money. Fuck all those average motherfuckers who a third of their fucking paycheck is gone. Nah, I gotta save my money so I can have my fucking remodeled kitchen in the Hamptons house. Fuck, man. You know what? So we got Trump, who, if you're looking at the paper, you know, on paper, the motherfucker's the American dream. You know, born into wealth. His dad, you know, never mind the fact that he was down to KKK. All right, whatever. But he's down, he's got business, he's got opportunities. Had shit handed to him, went to decent schools. And I don't know if you're following the accomplishments of President Donald J. Trump, but he's a fucking cunt. He's a piece of shit. And he's not doing a good job. Now, mind you, all the schooling, all the lies. And he lies. He lies. Lies. He just says what he needs to say in the moment. Reminds a little bit like Snoop Dogg. Except he doesn't have the... Snoop Dogg doesn't have the fucking nuclear codes. Right? And you might say, hey, there's bad black people. Sure there are. But you know what bad black people do? They rob and murder black people. They don't destroy the fucking planet for profit. We gotta talk about white people, man. We gotta talk about the bullshit. We gotta talk about these fucking motherfuckers who are protecting their monuments to slave warriors. Slave protectors. And not in a good way. The protection of the act of slavery. Fucking Trump. And he lies to a bunch of white people. They let all bunches of shit go, man. And now what do we have? White terrorists. What happened over the Memorial Day weekend? This fucking motherfucker starts berating Muslim people in a public place. Two white people jump in, say the shit's wrong, and this asshole kills them both. A father, a guy who served in the fucking military. So, listen, I have respect for the military for the simple fact that I don't have the fucking interest in being involved with it. But I recognize the need for them, and I say salute. And Memorial Day, thank you for your service. You guys are great. I wouldn't do it. But he killed one of them. Killed one of those soldiers. Who's fighting to protect his freedom, and he exercised it. He chose to be free to fucking murder two people. Over what? Because he heard somebody say some shit? Because someone has a different background? Dude, you really... White people? Holy shit, B. Man. Oh, man. All of a sudden, crack. Now, okay, you want to talk about crack, the crack epidemic? Okay, you have a program called the Black Panther Party, who is for feeding kids in school programs. By the way, this fucking Republican bullshit where they're talking... Ben Carson? You guys got Ben Carson? This motherfucker says that poverty is a state of mind. You cunty piece of shit. Oh, and he's black, but there's those people who are in that sunken place. I don't know if you saw the movie Get Out. They're called sellouts. They're in the sunken place now. They're people who are beyond repair. These are also niggers. These are pieces of shit that aren't doing us any favors. Crack was flooded in black communities and maximum sentences for predominantly white people who are profiting off of the whole thing. And crack was an epidemic. It was a huge problem. But now, what's the big thing? Opioids. Pills. Where do these fucking pills come from? White companies. Oh, all of a sudden, but it's something we have to deal with. It's not a problem. It's something we gotta coddle. We gotta take care of it. It's not lock them up and throw away the key. It's, oh, we gotta take care. Why? Because it's majority white. But don't let a bunch of black kids get caught with some fucking pills. Holy shit. I gotta tell you, there's even articles about white people not being comfortable when they see pictures of Paul Ryan with all those white people or Donald Trump with a bunch of white people behind him. Even white people aren't feeling comfortable seeing all these white people because, and I'm got to tell you this, there's something in your DNA, man, something in your fucking DNA that is off. It is fucking off, which is why when there's a cool white person, people are like, fuck yeah, man. Congratulations on overcoming that shit that is in your fucking DNA that makes your kind do all this foulness. And then it's so foul, you excuse it as it's happening. You could literally celebrate a white person who is fucking your personal situation up, and you will just clap and applaud and gleefully let the motherfucker ride off in the sunset. I do not understand the fuck out of that shit, man. The idea that there could be a lobbyist in Washington right now fighting so that white people can make more money to destroy the clean water supply is a real problem for me. I don't know how... climate change deniers? I mean, why? What the fuck, man? Even the Pope is telling you motherfuckers the shit's real, and you're like, nah, don't go for it. And why wouldn't an average person say, maybe we should protect the planet? Whether I believe in, you know, climate change or not, how about we just generally do things that are going to protect the fucking planet that we all live on? How the fuck can't you... Connecticut's got a lot of white people. Woo! So anyway, I say all that to say this. I live in Connecticut. I'm depressed as shit. I don't like it. And there's a lot of white people driving like shit. And it just makes me angrier and angrier. And I don't even have the fucking wherewithal to construct a joke because I don't give a fuck if these Connecticut cunts fucking laugh or not. And I'm saying this today. My feelings may change. They may not. Couldn't tell you. But I know this. White people, wealthy white people with shitty intentions are going to be the destruction of all of us. I dare you to doubt me because it's a fucking fact. And I gotta tell you, man, unless you're fighting back in a more strategic way, black people, shit's only gonna get worse. This is why we need to start being strategic with our use of niggers, man. Niggas can fucking do some serious damage. Hell. Anyway, that's it. I gotta make some changes. I gotta figure all this out. This whole life thing. Figure out what I'm gonna do. What I'm gonna do. And that's the plan. Alright, y'all. I'm Lamont. This is Lamont's Last Podcast. Peace.
Salute the truth and the prophecy. I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA.
This is why I say that hip-hop has done more damage to young African-Americans than racism in recent years.
I live about my DNA. This is my heritage. All I'm inheriting. Money and power, the maker of emeritus. Tell me something. You motherfuckers can't tell me nothing. I'd rather die than to listen to you. My DNA not for imitation. Your DNA an abomination. This how it is when you in the matrix. Dodging bullets, reaping what you're sowing. Stacking up the footage, living on the go and sleeping in the...